We love playing in front of our fans here. We are so thankful how they showed up for the last homestand and fully recognized that this is a work day, it's a school day. Shocked we got the 1 p.m. start time. Shocked. But really hoping that we continue to get the support from the fans here in Cleveland because we need it and we love it.
Shocked. I'm not shocked. The other markets involved here are Chicago, New York, L.A. Do the TV math. Chicago, New York, L.A. Yep, close to prime time as we can. Let's go. And that's why the Guardians are playing at 1 o'clock. Certainly not entertainment value.
Doesn't mean I have to like it.
No, you don't have to like it either.
Doesn't mean I have to like it.
Would Major League Baseball be better off playing two games at 5 o'clock and two games at 8 o'clock?
Probably not.
And putting them on opposing networks?
Yeah, I mean, they're already going to have it where it's going to be ESPN and ABC today. That it's going to fly back and forth between those so that they won't have to deal with overlaps or anything like that.
Yeah, I know, but still there's, you know, it's spread out so you can watch four games.
Correct.
What if you could only watch two? Would that be better for baseball? Or are they more concerned? We know they're more concerned about the TV ratings and TV viewership than they are about people in the stands.
Exactly. TV is going to tell the story in the same way that it does with the NFL. And the reason why they do things the way that they do, because TV tells the story. I don't think so. I think you're better off, if you're looking for TV ratings, I think you're better off doing it this way. But boy, it does kind of cut you short when it comes to having to start at 1 o'clock. But I guess they probably look at it and go, well, you could have the game on in the office. You know, you can have the game on the other TV, or you could put it on the TV screen small or whatever. Or, hey, subscribe to our streaming app and pay X amount a month like everything else on this planet.
The bad thing about this is I'd be stunned if there's a sellout for any of these three games just based on game time.
I'm with you.
That's tough.
It's tough to ask people to get a quick turnaround to get out of work early or to take a half day off of work or anything else involved. This game is built for college students, parents with vacation times, and retirees. Like, that's what or people who work from home. That's the other one, too, is people who work from home and can do a chunk of it from their phones.
The other aspect of this, too, Dan.
Not that there's anything wrong with being any of those things. Hell, no. We all want to become retirees.
Well, but who's going to be actually watching TV at 1 o'clock? You know, that's the other aspect of this.
People who are...
Yeah, I know.
You know, typically.
It just...
Thanks. People who want to pay three quarters attention to the job that's in front of them and a quarter of attention to the ball game.
And we appreciate that very much. Thank you very much.
All of you are heroes.
We make a living doing that.
All of you are heroes.
That's Dan Menigan. He's in for Baskin today. I'm Jeff Phelps. Stephen Vogt had his meeting with the media before the game. A couple of roster decisions that were made. The two on the starting in the pitching rotation we get, Parker Messick is not pitched in relief. And Logan Allen, they only need three starters for this. And Logan did just pitch. In theory, he could, because he'll have a bullpen day coming up, he could throw his bullpen in a game if he needed to be a long reliever. But they've chosen not to do that. I get it. I hope Logan gets it. The other one, Chase DeLauter, welcome to the major leagues. We know you've been injured all year. We know you've had about 150 minor league at-bats. We know it hasn't worked out since you've been here. Hope that foot's okay. You're on the playoff roster.
And it's been, apparently they decided to make this decision. And the first question Stephen Vogt was asked, of course, is, hey, what's the reason for adding Chase DeLauter?
When we looked at a bat, Chase was healthy and he's the best bat we have available to us. So we thought it'd be a good idea to get him on the roster. Chase has been working. He's been staying active and ready. And, you know, we felt like it was an impact bat that we could add and we're going to go for it.
It's not as if they've brought up guys from the minors who are hitting 350 all year. You're bringing up...
It's valid.
I mean, look at all the guys you brought up. I mean, George Valera hasn't done anything in the minors this year, but highly thought of prospect who had been injured like crazy, and they just thought, well, okay, let's bring up George. And George has been pretty good.
He's hit done a couple out when needed him to.
I mean, think about it, though. You got George Valera, you got Jonathan Rodriguez, who was just phenomenal in the minors last year, but really hasn't done anything in the majors. You got John Kenzie Noel, who's going to play some first base today. And John Kenzie, fun last year, not a good season. Petey Halpin, who just came up and made his major league debut. Hi, welcome to the pennant race. We have to win. You're in center field. And now today you bring up Chase DeLauder. Hi, it's a playoff series. If we don't win two of these, we're done. Good luck. Hope we need you.
But the thing is, what DeLauder truly brings to the table. And if he is healthy,
on the left side.
If he is healthy, what he could do. I mean, this is a guy who this season in the minors, he hit a .264, he had a .379 on base percentage, super patient, can work walks, all that kind of stuff, at a .473 slug. And not to mention a pretty good glove in right field. The bummer of it, he just gets hurt all the time. Yeah. But boy, if he is healthy, Stephen Vogt knows this and is really impressed. And especially, what can Chase DeLauder do?
Hit it, Jax.
We really haven't seen him since spring of 24 with us, so we've got a lot we need to work through, but we're excited for Chase. It's been a long time coming for him to make his debut, so really excited to have him with us.
Okay. Would you be surprised if he plays?
No, I would be. No.
Now, I say that knowing that Stephen Vogt, when guys have come up, he's just played him.
Yep. That's why.
Yeah.
That's the number one reason.
He's just played him.
All season long.
Petey Halpin, we need the win. You're in center.
Yeah, exactly. Not only that, but hey, you're getting a pinch hit at bat right here. You're fast as all get out. So my advice to you is don't hit it past the pitcher's mound. Go. That's how this team has been. There have been no kid gloves for anybody who makes the major league roster. There has been no special circumstances. There has been nothing. It's been, hey, welcome to the ball club. Your uniform's over there. Your locker's over there. And we'll need you in the fifth. Like, I would not be shocked if today we see Chase DeLauder in right field at some point. Just because, what's to stop them? They've never, ever, ever this season have been careful about when they put somebody in. This isn't the Browns quarterback situation where we're looking at this and going, okay, maybe you don't want to start him against a Brian Flores defense in Minnesota. The Guardians have been like, I don't care who you're starting against. Get out there. Go get a hit. We need you. Like, there has been no hesitation in any of these. And so, yeah, Chase DeLauder's in right field, Jeff. I'm not shocked. Be like, yeah, hashtag guards ball. Get cooking.
I get that. And if you look at who they're playing, you could make the argument that DeLauder's better than some of the guys that are out there, even though he's never played in the major leagues. Because the lineup, to quote John Smoltz the other day, I don't think I've ever seen so many batting averages that start with a one. And then I think he followed it up with, yet here they are.
It's baffling. I will.
It's been so much fun.
It's baffling. It's so much fun. It has basically made it like I just, again, want to rip everything in half and throw it behind. And like, I could go down every single advanced metric you could possibly think of. We could pull out acronyms that you were 99% sure were a part of the government before I started them when it came to, you know, Fangraphs. Like, we could go down this line and show every way that this team cannot hit water if it fell out of a boat. And yet here we are. Like, and yet here they are in this playoff series, and yet here they are in this situation, and we're all looking at each other going, hey, this is great. Let's go. Let's see what happens. I don't know. The morning show brought this up. Do you see pressure on either side of these, whether it's the Tigers who are coming in as the wild card team that is coming in here on a three-game series going, all right, let's see what this looks like, or even the Guardian side winning this? Do you think one of these teams even has pressure on them, or is this two teams that have thrown their hands up in the air and went, we're not supposed to be here. Let's go.
You might not like my answer to this one.
There are very few answers you've ever given me I've liked.
My point exactly. It's this. You hate it. I hate it. I hate the three-game series.
Right.
You played 162 games, for God's sake. If you deserve to be in the postseason, then you deserve a real chance. I don't think either team has pressure here because I kind of view it this way. Okay, you're getting to play some extra baseball right now. And then if you win this, you get to go to the playoffs. You know what I mean? I know this is the playoffs. I know that. But it's a three-game series, Dan. Anything mm-hmm. can happen in a three-game series. And so for that reason, I think they're both just out there and it's like, well, let's let her rip. Let's see what we have. And then if they win, then they get to really go to the playoffs. Does that make any sense?
It makes a ton of sense. It's the same way, like, It's the same way I feel with this series, where it's like, okay, if Scooble and Jack Flaherty go out and pitch really well,
well, you're in trouble.
You're in trouble.
Yeah.
If Bybee and Williams go out,
they're very capable of doing that.
If Bybee and Williams go out and throw really well, you're in trouble. If you're the Dodgers, like, and I know that's the 10 o'clock game where all of you are going to have toothpicks on your eyelids, or at least putting the kettle out of coffee to try to get yourself there. If Ashby and Hunter Green pitch really well, the Dodgers might be on the outside looking in.
Yeah.
This three-game series thing is just such a dice roll that I'm kind of with you, where it's like,
it's become a tournament rather than, I think, a championship.
Right.
You know, Discoverer or whatever you want to call it.
You're never... This probably isn't the day to say this, but what the heck, we're here. In a perfect world, after playing 162 games, you would think that we would walk out with a champion after 162 games.
Yeah.
And just go, here you go. The marathon has been far enough.
Well done.
Here in the States, we do playoffs. You know, we're all about this whole thing of, okay, you got to win a best of seven. You got to win a best of five. You got to figure that out. But it's like, I played 162 games. And I know the answer to this is win more, which,
I didn't mind, because that's where my mindset is too. I didn't mind two divisions. You know, I liked it back in the day. You played a lot of games. You won the most games. That's the best team. And when they split up into more divisions, okay, you got three champs and then you got one wild card. I could live with that.
Yeah.
Adding two more wild cards just dilutes the whole thing so much. And I think it really works against the teams that had a really nice regular season. You know, because all of a sudden it's like, well, we won fill in the blank number of games in the regular season. We have the first or second best record in the league. Now I've got to go out and beat this team that barely got into the playoffs and doesn't have a very good record. And I only they could win two games in a row and I'm done. I understand it from a TV standpoint. I understand it from making the end of the regular season more exciting, because it was. It was. I just don't think it's right.
I understand it from I want as many teams to continue to play good baseball through the end of September point. I get it from that too. But I am with you. There are so many variables that now come into this that it's ridiculous. You know, you are now in a place where two hot starting pitchers, three hot bullpen guys, and two hot hitters coming from any of the, what are we at now, six for each? So 12 teams can win this whole thing. We're in a world where 2 years ago, the Texas Rangers won the World Series against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Both of them were wild card teams.
Yeah.
We are in this world where the Washington Nationals won a World Series in 2019, and they deserved every last bit of it, but they won it because they had Rendon, they had Harper, they had Trey Turner that were hot at that point, they had Scherzer, they had Strasburg, who were throwing their tails off then. I mean, we've added so many variables into this now that it really opens the door to anybody. It's part of the reason why if we're sitting here 2 weeks from now talking Guards baseball, Jeff, I wouldn't be shocked. Why?
Because
means two guys caught fire besides Jose Ramirez. Starting pitching is cooking and the bullpen's cooking. And it's like, okay, great. Here we are. Why? Because it's all a dice roll.